Well, it's Saturday afternoon, and you're listening to another edition of Woods and Water SC right here on 94.5 WGTK. My name is Roger Metz. Today we're going to talk about Camp Wildwood with Camp Director Dan Dupree from South Carolina Department of Natural Resources. Try to get to a little saltwater fishing that I had to do, that I got to do this week, and whatever else we can fit into the next hour. I know right now we're not going to get to everything I have to go over, so maybe I can carry some over to next week. We'll see. You know, if you listen to the tag end of this show, I talk about taking the back roads when you can. I love back roads. I avoid I-26, I-20, I-95 like the plague. I don't like being surrounded by 52-foot 18-wheelers and folks texting on their cell phones. So I find another road that'll get me there. Might be 15 or 20 minutes more, but at least my nerves are not shot and rattled by the time I get there. You know, I love the sights of small towns along those country roads, but I like smells. I don't know. Maybe I'm weird that way. But anyway, you know, pine trees, cow pastures, hay fields that just been cut, freshly plowed field, or the smell right after a small rain shower like we're having here in Greenville. However, if you're going to drive through the country right now, beware. Farmers are fertilizing their fields, and they're not doing it with the spray fertilizers anymore. A lot of them are doing it with chicken and turkey litter. Whew. There's only one thing. It almost put me in the ditch a couple times this week, and it won't matter if the winds are up or down if you go through one of these. The only way to get through it is to hold your breath and hope South Carolina Highway Patrol is nowhere around. Last week, I was complaining a little bit about missing out on a Gulfstream trip. When, you know, this past week, I got 3 phone calls to go out. One of them fit my schedule, so worked it out, got down. We left out of Hilton Head Island, 60-some miles out past the deli. It was a long ride, but a really great day. Bunch of knockdowns, put 12 fish in the boat, 12 good mahi in the boat. So now my wife, I called her last night on the way home. Being it's Mother's Day tomorrow, I called her and I said, honey, I said, I got nice fresh mahi for you. I picked up some yellowfin tuna steaks and some fresh scallops from a seafood shop that I like to go to when I'm in Somerville. And she says, well, that would be good, but we have such and such to do tomorrow and such tomorrow night. And then we've got to go to my parents and your parents on Sunday. So, sorry, Mother's Day will be Monday around my house, but there is fresh fish in the house in the freezer. So, and I'll try to get to talk a little bit of that trip later. The weather this week looks a little damp. I do have a camping trip up on the Chattooga River scheduled for this week. Now we'll see whether, the older ones in the bunch want to go and put up with the rain or not. We'll see what happens. But speaking of the calendar, let's go over it this week. Don't forget, this coming Saturday, there are 2 fishing rodeos, one in Union and one in Tamasi. Check the Woods and Water SC Facebook page for the schedules, or go to the South Carolina DNR page, search fishing rodeos. They'll come up with a whole list. You pick the one that's for Union or Tamasi, and they have a PDF flyer, and it tells you ages, what's required, and that sort of thing. I do have a free rod and reel for a kid, you know, 15 and under, say. If you're planning on going to one of these fishing rodeos, and the one I went to in Draper last week, they gave away fishing tackle. I think there's a little bit for use on the next two, but they're not giving away tackle like they did at Draper, so you'll need to take your own. I would prefer, if you are planning to take a kid to either of the fishing rodeos, to call in. I'll give you this rod and reel. But if you just have a kid, I can't do that to everybody else. So if you just have a kid who wants to go fishing, I'm going to have a fishing rod to give away. If you'll call in after the 3:45 break, first caller will get it. It's going to be a Spincast Zebco combo, and I'll have it here at the station for you to pick up. But if you get that rod and reel, consider going to one of these fishing rodeos and breaking it in right. We will have Dan Dupree on next hour to talk about Camp Wildwood and the calendar for this week, paddling on the Edisto River. Now, the Edisto River, you know, it changes with season to season, but it's a really beautiful place to go. It's one of the scenic rivers in South Carolina. I know last week I mentioned there are 9 of them. So even though this is one that's on the calendar for May 17th, there's 8 other rivers out there. Do your own paddle trip. You know, these are just ideas for you, things that are already organized. If you got your own canoe and kayak, This one is an American Canoe Association certified guides with Edisto River Canoe and Kayak Association. They give safety equipment instructions. They give you a naturalist eye going down this river. They do have canoes available, limited number of kayaks. Call them. There is a pre-registration by Wednesday prior to the event. So by this Wednesday, if you want to go paddle the Edisto River, it takes place at Colleton State Park. South Carolina State Park's website to get more information. Marsh Mania. Now they're going again to the smell thing. I love the smell of a salt marsh at low tide. Lots of people go to the coast. They only cross the Isle of Palms connector at high tide because they don't like to smell all the salt marsh, but I love a salt marsh. If you like salt marshes, you have kids that like salt marshes, this is for you. It takes place at Edisto Beach State Park, May the 23rd from 10 to 11. It's just an hour. It says, come prepared to get muddy. And if you're messing around in a salt marsh, you will get muddy. Also, you need closed-toed shoes to participate. No flip-flops. That's Edisto Beach Park, May 23rd from 10 to 11. The Lowcountry Gullah Festival, May 23rd to May 25th. Good foods. You know, I talked about offshore fishing. Maybe you need to schedule a fishing trip down at the coast, whether it's offshore or inshore. Hit the Gullah Festival. Lots of food, music, that sort of thing. Lowcountry history. Good family event to go to. And I wouldn't be doing my job here if I didn't mention Freedom Weekend Aloft. Now, it's changed its names over the years. I remember when it started, we were here. I remember in 1993, it was summer of 92, before I got married, my wife and I worked the festival. At that time, Elliot Davis was a sponsor. We worked it together, and that's when we figured out we could never work together again. And we've made it happen. We never mixed business and family. Great thing to go to is right here in Simpsonville. It's a nonprofit event, so the money raised goes to local and regional charities. But there's car shows, depending on where you look, 80 to 100 hot air balloons, concerts, disc dog competition. This is just a great family thing, and I wouldn't be doing my job is to get families together if I didn't mention this. Speaking of that, though, did you know, of course, there's the hot air balloon launch. You can volunteer on the chase crew, a scoring crew, or a volunteer ground crew. When Freedom Weekend first started, there was a gentleman who had a balloon, and I crewed on that balloon with him, you know, getting it set up in the morning for launches, chasing it, taking it down when we got through with the flight, and he let me fly in it a few times. It's a great opportunity to get an inside view of what really happens on a hot air balloon. You can also get rides in hot air balloons. They're $200 a person, something you may want to think in. With school coming to an end, you got a kid that's really done a good job. Here's a reward, a hot air balloon. Loggerhead Sea Turtle Walk down at Edisto Island. A lot of this stuff with the weather warming up is going to be along the coast. I'm digging to find some things to do in the upstate. I had a caller email me from Chesterfield, says, why don't you find something for us to do out, to send people out to Chesterfield? I'm working on that too. Edisto Beach Park, June the 1st, from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. You're going to have a program that teaches you about the loggerhead sea turtle, and then you're going to go walk the beach. And then at that time of the year, the sea turtles are coming in to dig their nests and lay their eggs and all. Would be a really cool thing to do. Pre-registration is required. Again, this is South Carolina State Parks website, but this would be a really fun thing to do. And then finally, park deals. With school coming to a close, Santee State Park is offering 40% off their cabins from June 1st to the 5th. And that includes the cabins with the piers and then all out on the water. Take advantage of this, you know, before you go to the beach. Santee is pretty cool. It actually made the top 100 bass fishing lakes by BASS. Go do some of this stuff. If you have something that's happening in our area that you want me to include on the calendar events, please give me a call. Email me, scwoodsandwater@gmail.com. I'd be happy to put up here. Dan Dupree on the other side of the break. Stay tuned, and we'll be back. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. As usual, I'll be adding the calendar of events to the Facebook page. You can find them at Woods and Water SC, or if that doesn't search doesn't show up, it's www.facebook.com/Woods and Water SC. Log on, check out the posts and pictures that I've got up there. Give the show a like. I also set up a Gmail account. If you want to send me a picture, comment, question, or a topic you want to talk about, that address is scwoodsandwater@gmail.com. I said before the break we'd have Dan Dupree, and Mr. Dupree is on the air with us. He is the camp director, a camp coordinator at Camp Wildwood, which is a DNR camp. Dan, thank you for calling in.
I'm glad I could, Roger. I'm glad to be with you all today.
You are a busy man these days, aren't you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. From sunup to sundown, seems like this time of year.
Well, it's a good time of the year to be busy. At least it's pretty outside.
Yes, sir.
Now, you are the camp coordinator for Camp Wildwood, correct?
That is correct. That is my title.
Okay. And when we talked earlier, I was talking about Progressive Camp, but the air is yours. Tell us what Camp Wildwood is all about.
Well, Camp Wildwood is a unique opportunity for the youth of South Carolina to be immersed in the life of, say, a DNR employee. That's really what it comes down to. We focus on stewardship and conservation of our natural resources. And when I say youth, it's unique because it's geared towards campers that are actually a little bit older than the typical camp age. We look in for campers that are going to 10th, 11th, and 12th grade. And we have a wonderful curriculum that gets them out and about, hands-on, and they have tons of fun doing that.
That would be the kind of camp I would like to go to.
Oh, me too.
It says here approximately 100 will be in the first camp. Now, we're talking about a progressive camp. So the first year, what are these kids going to do?
All right, the first year is that camp, and let me kind of back up really quick.
Okay.
Camp Wildwood is an umbrella for three different programs. And the first program is the one that everybody looks at Camp Wildwood as, and that's the one that you just spoke of, which is typically 100 campers. They're co-ed, 50-50.
Okay.
And this is mostly a educational curriculum. And just to give you an example of some of the classes that we teach there, we have forestry, hunter education, we have boater education, fisheries, wildlife, we have archery, and all of these are taught by certified DNR instructors. And so that is really the heart of the program. And then, of course, in the evenings and the afternoons, we have the typical sports and different evening activities that just teenagers these days love and they just really enjoy.
Yeah, I see dances, campfires, and skit night.
Yes, sir. And then we have a few things that we just don't publicize because we want to make it somewhat of an experience that is just somewhat of a surprise. And that's really what we kind of approach it, and it's always memorable to them.
Any kind of surprise at camp is a good one.
Exactly.
And this camp takes place at Kings Mountain?
Kings Mountain State Park,
okay.
And a lot of people know of the Kings Mountain, the military park, which is in North Carolina.
Right.
But Kings Mountain State Park is located right on the border in York County. And it's a wonderful place, and they've hosted Camp Wildwood since 1985. And we really appreciate all that they do for Camp Wildwood State Park System.
Now, Camp Wildwood is sponsored by whom?
Well, our main sponsor, the two main sponsors, people that I'm employed by, of course, is the Department of Natural Resources.
Okay.
And our other really important sponsor is the Garden Clubs of South Carolina. And why I say they're the main sponsors, because they're the ones that thought they had the insight 60 years ago to come up with a conservation camp. And they knew they couldn't do it alone, so they looked at the Department of Natural Resources and the resources that we had, and we partnered with them, and it's been a wonderful relationship for over 60 years. Now, our other big sponsors that we've picked up along the way is, of course, our South Carolina Wildlife Federation. We also have the State Park, the Perry Hampton Wildlife Memorial Fund, and those are our really big sponsors that help us out every year.
Great. Okay, so kids, those 100 kids go to Camp Wildwood year number one as a 10th grader.
That's correct.
And then what happens the second year?
Well, of course, every kid that goes through the camp are wonderful. But there's always a few out there that are just gung-ho about our natural resources that might see it as maybe a career opportunity. And so we actually choose 20 of those 100 to come back for the second-year program. And that one is held at the same time as the first-year program. So they've gone through camp the year before, they come back, and those 20 will actually, they stay at camp for a day, but then they go off to Walhalla Fish Hatchery, and they camp out for 4 days up there, and they go whitewater rafting. They do more outdoor skills development. They go rappelling and high ropes, and so it's not necessarily focused on, say, a curriculum, educational curriculum.
Okay.
It's more geared towards furthering their outdoor skills development, making them leaders within their community, and also learning other opportunities, how they can get involved at their young age to make a difference in their community. So that's really what the second-year program is.
Okay. Note here on the thing says, don't forget hiking boots.
Yes, they do a great deal of hiking with the second-year program. I don't know if you've ever been to Walhalla Fish Hatchery.
Oh, I have.
It's that there's a nice hill, and they hike that whole thing up and down, and they just have a great time. We've seen an occasional bear up there, so it's quite interesting when they see the bear. And then they turn around and say, you know what, you're going to have to sleep out there too. So it's a good example of how to camp and not have the little snacks in their camp tents and stuff like that. So we've had a good time. There's some chuckles, but we still make them do that.
Good, good. Okay, now, you've gone through the first year, you've been invited back for the second year, you've gone through the second year, and now third year comes up.
Third year, which is my favorite program that I coordinate and that I participate in myself. And that one is, we invite all those second year, and we go from being up in the mountains, and it's called a coastal adventure. It's 1 month after the first and second year. So first year you're gone, second year you're gone, and the third year, that you're part of the program, you're down on the coast. And you want to learn anything and everything you want to know from everything from the low country down to our beaches. And so we go and we watch loggerhead sea turtles hatch. We go to the aquarium. They're one of our sponsors, and they let us go behind the scenes, and we do some crabbing and surf fishing and beach ecology, beach geology. And we stuff all that in 1 week in July. It's hot, but we have a great time doing it. And we also, our main focus is these are our leaders that eventually they want to go into the natural resources careers. So we have Clemson, we have, you know, College of Charleston. They come down, they do a good bit of talking and letting them know that if you want to go into this, they provide opportunities for them. And we get a lot of campers that eventually end up in the natural resources career.
Great, and that's what we need. We need to develop the leaders of tomorrow today.
Exactly, and that's one great thing about this program.
Now, how much, it's approximately $200 a week now. Is that $200 for each camp, or does that price go up every year?
That is a price that we have, that's our price point we figured out in the last few years. We do not see it going up any higher anytime soon, and we're kind of proud of that price because if anybody's ever tried to send a camper, especially those teenage campers, off for a week, we like to say we're the least expensive camp that you can find because $200 is a bargain. And that's because it's subsidized to the Garden Clubs of South Carolina. They donate a lot of money towards the camp, not specifically to a camper. So we're able to have that camp, that camper have a wonderful experience for such a low price.
That is a good price. Dan, how do people get in touch with you if they want more information? I understand there are still open camping spots available for this year.
Yes, sir. There's a few spots left, definitely. And I have several ways that you can find out, first off, more information about the Camp Wildwood program. And one way is, of course, you can call me, and my phone number is 803-609-1072. And my email address, and the easiest one that I tell people is Wildwood, just like Camp Wildwood, but it's wildwood@gmail.com. And you can go to our website. And the best way to get to our website is just do a Google search of Camp Wildwood of South Carolina. And or you can go to the DNR website, which is dnr.sc.gov. And right there on the home page of the DNR website, there should be a button on your right that says Camp Wildwood. So those are the main ways that you can get in touch with me when it comes to the Camp Wildwood program, and also to see if there are some spots available.
Dan, I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate the job y'all are doing down there at Camp Wildwood. I would love to come visit if we could arrange that. And yesterday when I was looking at the Facebook page, you had a great Facebook post up there, and it says, "This world needs more tackle boxes and less Xboxes."
Amen.
And I also noticed one more interesting thing, and some kids are not going to like this, but of course the kids that can go to this kind of camp are not going to worry. It on each page, as you go through the different camps, the year one, the year two, the year three, each one of them off to the right-hand side has a big square, one of those red circles with a slash through it, and a cell phone underneath, and it says, "No cell phones allowed at camp."
Exactly. And what's really great about that is that we do occasionally might have a camp or two that did not come or attend camp because of that. But every person, especially last year, our theme of camp was look up, meaning quit looking down at your cell phone, at your iPad. Look up and see who's in front of you and to engage with them. And that's really the theme that we had going on last year. And it translates well to the youth, even though that they are centered towards that phone in their hand. Once they have an opportunity like this to step away from it, they come, and I had so many campers last year said, "Thank you for showing me that there is a world outside of texting and Facebook and things." They are good tools, but there are certain times that we need to get out and just enjoy our natural resources. We can do that from behind the phone. That's kind of what we promote there at Camp Wildwood.
Well, Dan, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. I look forward to working with you more and hearing what some of these campers enjoy during the year.
All right. Appreciate it, Roger. Thanks for the time.
All right, Dan. Take care.
You too.
Well, parents, now you have it. You have five camps from Clemson, and you have a three-year progressive program from Saginaw Department of Natural Resources, all geared towards getting your kids outside. There is a world outside, and there's a YouTube video going around right now called Look Up. Google it. Watch it. It will make an impression on you. We'll try to get to a little saltwater fishing on the other side. Hang on, we'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Woods and Water on 94.5 WGTK. You can listen in on your FM dial, a free WGTK app, or you can go online at tunein.com. If you want to call into the show, it's 235-9405. I was going to talk about offshore fishing, but I got a caller on the line, a young man who's got a lot going on. Talked to him a little bit earlier. You've heard him before. It's Geddes Brandon with the Anglers at USC. Geddes, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
Doing pretty good. All right. You guys had a fundraising tournament on Lake Wylie.
Yes, sir. We had our Bass Open, second annual one. We had it 2 weeks ago, and it was presented by Hunt, Fish, and Paddle. We had a decent turnout. Wasn't quite what we were looking for, but we did have about 40 boats. I do have the top five results right here in front of me.
Okay.
If you'd like for me to read those out for you.
Read them off.
All right, in first place we had Tim Chapman and Mark Leach with 19 pounds and 73. And Big Fish, they also won Big Fish, with 548. Second place was Thomas Richmond and Artie Phillips with 1489. So there's a decent gap right there.
It is.
From first to second for a fishing tournament. And then Chris Beamy came in third with 1475. And fourth place was Mike Stevens with 1444. With a 5.34 Big Fish. And the reason that matters in competitive bass fishing, if you have a tie, which we did with fourth and fifth place, is broken by the largest fish. And in fifth place, we had Michael Kirkley and Mark Mitchell. They also had 1444. But since Mr. Stevens had the 534 Big Fish, that's what breaks the tie.
Very good. So the club made a little money for next year.
Yes, sir. We made a little bit of money for next year, so that's always good.
That's a good thing. Now tell me, what does a collegiate bass fisherman do over the summer?
Well, the college bass season does not end over the summer.
It doesn't
actually
end.
No, sir. It more than less picks up. We'll be at Lake Guntersville next weekend for the FLW College Regional on the 17th. And then next month in June, we will be on Pickwick Lake, which is a great fishery on the Tennessee River that borders Tennessee, Mississippi, and Alabama. A lot of ledge fishing out there, so it's a lot of fun during the summer whenever the fish get out deep. You can crank them up and throw a football jig, whatever, and and really catch some good fish. That'll be June 27th through the 28th, and that'll be our last chance to make it to the Classic on Hartwell next year. The first time we fished in the Carhartt Series this year was on Lake Okeechobee back in January, and we finished a couple pounds out of the cut at 28th out of 150.
So
that's what we got planned for the summer.
So the club finished 28 of 150 for the year or just for that tournament?
Just for that tournament.
Okay. Yes. And y'all will be fishing Lake Hartwell at the same time the BASS will be there or before them?
Well, actually, the wild card gives us a chance to qualify for the Bassmaster Classic on Lake Hartwell. So that'll go to like a tournament format similar to the way they do the Final Four, where you just start out with I think maybe 8 anglers, and then you go individually against each other in a bracket, and the winner gets to go on to the Bassmaster Classic, which is definitely the Super Bowl of bass fishing. And here in South Carolina, we're fortunate enough to have the Bassmaster Classic on Lake Hartwell, and the Forestwood Cup this summer is going to be on Lake Murray, so we got a lot to look forward to in bass fishing.
We have a lot to look forward to in South Carolina bass fishing, that's for certain. And you've got a busy summer. We talked earlier in your summer school and bass fishing and doing some research and all that. You and I need to stay in contact with each other.
Yes, sir, we will for sure. And when you mentioned that, I would like for the listeners, if y'all would, to please go to our Facebook page. And it's facebook.com/U of SC Bass Fishing. And what there is, there's a question on there, and it's just surveying how much money do you spend on an average fishing tournament. That's practice, pre-practice. Some people go out there weeks before, some people go out there 2 days before. Just trying to get a roundabout idea of how much each angler spends in gas, because a gas tank on a boat, in my experience, costs a lot more to fill up than a car gas tank. So you have to fill up both of them to get to the lake.
Well, we just went offshore and we just put 100 gallons into a 200 gallon tank. So yes, it's a lot of gas involved in fishing before you ever hit the lake.
Oh yes, sir, for sure. And I would like to take the time if I could right now. I got a couple of sponsor offers.
Okay.
Fly Fish and Paddle sponsored our tournament on Lake Wylie. They were the presenting sponsor. You can visit them at www.huntfishpaddle.com, and they are conveniently located beside Buster Ford Landing in Lake Wylie. So it's right off the ramp. Takes no time to get there. It's on the way already. You're already up and going. Might as well stop by and see Adam.
And that's it's right there at the old Hungry Fisherman when I was a kid.
Oh yeah, yes sir. It's right there. It's right there beside, I think, the Kangaroo gas station.
Yep.
And he has a wide variety of lures and ducats, and he actually has some really nice kayaks. So trying to get people in the area involved in kayak fishing. And what Adam's doing for us, the guy that owns it, is if you go into his store and you mention Woods and Water South Carolina, you'll receive 15% off your next purchase. Or your purchase of that day. So if y'all would, make a trip up to Lake Wylie. The fishing's been pretty good lately. Go into Hunt, Fish, and Paddle, Mitchum Woods and Water, South Carolina, and you get 15% off.
That's great.
Also, another sponsor that helped us out with the tournament tremendously was Shane's Baits. And, it's developed by FLW Tour Pro Shane LeHue. He's actually, went through the college ranks at UNC Charlotte and is now fishing the tour. He's actually leading the FLW Rookie of the Year race right now. And what he's making are lightweight, durable Alabama rigs. He's got the traditional five-arm hook Alabama rigs, the double He has a double Alabama rig. He has a finesse rig. And I've used his Blades of Glory rig over the past week on Lake Murray and have just worn the fish out. So they have interchangeable arms. They have, or you can attach a buzz bait if you want to. It's really neat. Really great guys over there. And you can visit them at www.shanesbaits.com. And if you mention Woods and Water South Carolina there, you get a free scent tube, which attaches to the end of the rig. And what this is nothing else on the market like it. You put it on the back of the rig, it's got a place for it, and it releases for 4 to 5 hours either a shad scent, a garlic shad glitter scent, a blood scent, or a shad glitter scent. And he's going to send that to you for free just for listening today. So make sure to do that, and that would be great. And, you know, you can get a couple dollars off and get to try out some new good stuff. And the Shane's rigs are actually been pretty big up in the North Carolina, South Carolina, upstate area at Lake Wylie and Lake Norman, probably about 80 or 90% of the tournaments this winter when the fish were still pre-spawn. We're probably, I would say, one on that rig. And there's a lot of tackle stores in the area, including Hunt, Fish, and Paddle, that do have Shane's rigs. And I would like for anybody that's listening, you know, push to your local tackle shop. Try to carry these rigs, because I tell you what, it's a pain in the butt to go all the way to Charlotte or all the way to Rock Hill to go get these Alabama rigs. And you know, they don't even, you know, he's to tell you the truth, you know, he's not even sponsoring the team as like that. You know, I'm telling from experience,
right,
that these rigs are something to be reckoned with. So definitely, if y'all can do that, definitely do that. And like I said, our Facebook page is facebook.com/U of SC Bass Fish, and go on there, like our page, fill out our surveys, and enjoy your new Bass Pro Shop in the area. I hadn't got down there yet.
Well, come on. Bring your boat. Come on. When Bass Pro Shop's here, we'll go fishing.
I'm definitely trying to get down there soon. I heard it's going to have the bar and the grill and everything else in there, so it'll be a nice big one.
And a bowling alley.
And a bowling alley.
And a bowling alley.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think
it's... And, you know, I read somewhere the other day that per capita, Spartanburg County actually issues more hunting and fishing licenses than any county in the United States.
And
that's something to be proud of.
And that just amazes me. But, hey, numbers don't lie.
Numbers do not lie. That is right. And, you know, we have a lot of people that are very influential in the tackle industry in the state of South Carolina.
So we do.
We need to pick up and, you know, us as citizens of the state need to start realizing the economic impact that that this industry is able to bring to our state when we have great fisheries like Lake Hartwell, Lake Murray, Santee Cooper, Lake Wylie, you know, Park Hill, Strom Thurmond, Lake Russell. All of them are so good, and you know, they're in maybe a 90-mile radius, so it's a good place to be bass fishing right now. The fish on Lake Murray are biting very well. There's been some big sacks coming out. The Kyle Page Memorial Tournament was last Saturday.
Okay.
And it was about 105, 110 boats, I believe,
oof,
something like that. And it took 25, nearly 26 pounds to win. So it was a shootout there.
Well, good. Well, look, I got coming up against a break. It's good to talk to you. Thanks for the plug for Woods and Water, South Carolina. If in reverse, you know, put on your Anglers at USC page to come hit my page. You and I would be in touch. You've got some stuff going on I want to keep track of, and let's go fishing.
Yes, sir. Hey, we're getting out on the water soon.
Okay, get it. Take care.
All right, I appreciate it.
Back on the other side, keep your eye on that young man. He's going to be something. Be on the other side of the break. And welcome back to the last segment of Woods and Water, South Carolina. You can call me at 235-9405 or send me an email at scwoodsandwater.com. Would love to hear what you've been out doing, what you'd like to hear on the show in the future, what you don't like about the show. No, don't tell me what you don't want to know. I don't want to know. Just keep that to yourselves. The offshore saltwater report will just have to go to next week. It's too much to try to fit into this one with some of the other stuff I want to cover. But if you've ever considered going offshore, and it's not a cheap venture. If you're chartering a boat now, I've over the past 10 or 12 years, I made friends in down at the coast fishing off my flats boat and all. And word kind of gets around. You meet different people at, you know, tournaments and that sort of thing. And you say, oh, well, you know, I'd like to go offshore. And, oh, well, I'd like to go inshore or take me to walk a flat or take me trout fishing in the mountains or that sort of thing. And you kind of, you get to know people. And I'm lucky enough to have friends with more money and bigger boats than me. And I get a call and I go offshore. But if you've ever thought about chartering a boat, it's not a cheap proposition, but a day offshore to the Gulf Stream is an experience like no other. You stand at the beach and you look across the breakers to the horizon, and there's, you know, it's water. And that's what a lot of people think is out there, is just water. But boy, when you're out there in a small boat, number one, you realize how small you really are. But it's alive out there. There's so much going on in the Gulf Stream or between nearshore waters and offshore waters. I'll save that for another time. There's a lot of information there to get through, and we'll have fun with it. But if you've ever considered, go to some of the Google Charleston offshore fishing charters or Georgetown offshore fishing charters, or wherever you go for vacation or is close to you. Go and look and get an idea of what it's about. We'll talk about it later. It's a great event to go. And like I said, here we've got school coming to a close. The Mahi Run, now that's dolphin or mahi. That's not flipper. But if you've ever been in the restaurant and gotten mahi-mahi, this is what we're catching right now. They're running up the warm edge of the Gulf Stream, eating like no other fish can, growing by the day. And they are some of the best eating fish out there. They're not fishy fish tasting. They're very mild. My wife and kids love them. That's one reason that I get to go without too much grief is when I come home with 20 or 30 pounds of mahi fillets, they know that's a fish that I'll enjoy eating. So yeah, we'll give Dad a break on that one. But it's a very mild, a lot of it tastes like what you cook it in. I do just a light lemon pepper with a little salt and pepper on top of that and butter. Oh, it's good. But anyway, we'll cover that later. I don't want to get through this show and not mention Mother's Day. You know, I have a great mom. I'll just say it right here now. Has your mom ever taken you deer hunting? And I was a boy growing up. My mom took me deer hunting. I cracked up. I thought, you know, oh, she's playing one on me. She walked me to the little wooden stand I had built in a tree, and I got up in it, and I turned around and watched my mom climb a tree behind me and sit on a limb. And I know I was there for more than an hour. I didn't see any deer, but I was just absolutely amazed. My mom was going to, of course, I was, you know, 12 or 13 or so and all. But there's my mom sitting in a tree behind me. And for a kid to, you know, that is one of those memories that lives on forever. I know she's listening. Mom, happy Mother's Day. You're the best. Running second to her is my wife, Debbie, who is the mother to my two daughters. Great moms. If you got a mom and she is close, go see her tomorrow. Do something special for them. It's Mother's Day. Should be Mother's Day more than just once a year, but once a year we recognize moms. And guys, when you go hunting fish, you know if mom's not happy, nobody's happy. You need to keep them happy. Tomorrow's their day. Do something special for them. I'm going to be all over the place visiting. I did not want today to get away without saying happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. And also, we've got a lot of school graduating. Congratulations to all those seniors who are graduating high school and college. The world's wide open for you now. Go grab it. A couple of things in the news. The South Carolina Memorial Reef became a reality. Now, this is an artificial deep water reef. This is not a barge sunk in 50 feet of water. This is out at 350 feet. Out kind of in on the South Carolina coast, as you go offshore, you'll run. It's very gradual. All of a sudden you hit the ledge and it drops off markedly to 600, 700, 800, 1200 feet from 140 feet. This is a project that was started in 2008 by fishermen. We had the deaths of two captain, Tony Smoke and Robbie Johnson, died suddenly. You know, fishermen were a tight bunch, wanted something to remember their friends, so they came up with the artificial, this Memorial Reef project. They worked with DNR and they raised $500,000 to get this on. They sunk it the other day. It's expected to, it's got a profile of 120 feet, so it will come up from 350 to 350 less 120, 230 or so, something like that. You won't be allowed to anchor up and bottom fish on it, but this will do wonders for offshore trolling, you know, the dolphin, the wahoo, those fish you'll troll for, they'll be there. It's covered with crosses, if you look at the pictures, of crosses, you know, steel I-beam crosses with these guys' names and all on it. It's one of those things that's going to benefit everybody. You can dive on this, you can fish on it. There is more coming. They're getting ready to do another barge with the same thing. All this is welded together, cargo containers, truck bodies, that sort of thing. And they're doing another one. They're going to do a camera and sonar study in June. Expect full-time residents within 3 to 6 months. It won't probably fish very well for dolphin this year, but next year should be really, really good. BASS, that's the Bassmasters organization, releases top 100 lakes. South Carolina logged in with three. Number 94 was Santee Cooper. 89 was Lake Strom Thurmond. That's Clarks Hill. BASS has it listed as Georgia, but that's a shared lake, so South Carolina actually gets part of that. And 87 was Lake Murray. The top five, Sturgeon Bay in Lake Michigan, Clear Lake in California, Lake Erie in New York, Lake Cordia Lane, Idaho, Gunnersville in Alabama. You just heard Getty saying they were going to Gunnersville. I used to go to Gunnersville and duck hunt. Man, the grass mats they've got on that lake. I can only imagine bass fishing down there. The ducks love it, especially gadwalls. Hundreds of thousands of coots and the gadwalls mixing in with the coots. It's just a great lake to go to. If you like fishing, there you go. States. California had eight lakes on the, they were number one with eight lakes. Texas, Michigan. Some of those, of course, you know, Alaska didn't make it. Sorry. but hey, when you've got king salmon, who needs largemouth bass, right? Let's see. From the Outdoor Wire, Wheeling Sportsman. Now, this is mobility impaired hunters. The National Wild Turkey Federation takes them to the Savannah River site once a year. This is the 11th year they've been down there. It's called the Wheeling Sportsman event. Those guys killed 22 turkeys and took home a lifetime of memories. It's made part possible with the U.S. Forest Service and the U.S. Department of Energy. Great program there. I know those guys love to get out and get going. Other news, you had a Senate bill that was introduced. The first time it was introduced was in 2008 or so. They've been trying to raise it for a few years. It's the migratory duck stamp. 1991 was the last year that we had an increase in the duck stamp fee. And if you're a waterfowler and a conservationist like me, this is important to you. 1991, the average price of gas was $1.23, gallon of milk was $2.36, and a loaf of bread was $1.25. Inflation has doubled and tripled with commodities, and we're still paying the same thing 23 years later, $15. Now, they introduced this bill. They tried it several times, you know, with legislators and that sort of thing, how gummed up it is. There's a tracker out there, govtrack.us, that you can go. They give it a 20% chance of passing. I don't even think it's going to make it out of committee and be voted on it. But it's like I tell a lot of people, you know, if you are interested in conservation, you hunt, you fish, you do all this stuff, just buy an extra stamp. I do it. I buy one to sign because you have to stick one to your hunting license and sign the face of it to make it valid. Just buy an extra one. It's just $15. If you believe in it, you'll pay for it. Or there are organizations like Ducks Unlimited, Delta Waterfowl. You know, they're year-round doing research, and the ducks are starting to nest right now. I saw a little thing flash across the screen that said they were going to, U.S. Fish and Wildlife in Canada, they were going to go in and start doing aerial surveys to see what our duck reproduction was going to be like in the Prairie Pothole region. But those duck stamps have conserved over 6 million acres through purchase and lease, 2.5 million acres in the Prairie Pothole region. You know, if you're a good conservationist, $10 more won't be a bad thing. If you just want to donate it, just buy an extra one. DNR news, and this is with sadness that I say this, is oyster season is going to close May the 15th. So the local oysters we've all been enjoying since October of last year, we'll have to wait another 6 months to get them again. I would like to meet the guy that ate the first oyster. They're not appealing, but boy, I tell you, I love them. And the, one of the best ways to get them is to go pick your own off a public shelling ground there and eat one right there. I wouldn't eat one in October, November. Boy, in December, January, go pick a few. Eat a couple right down the bank. They're just wonderful. Did you see where there's some shrimp fishermen netted a rare goblin shark? I mean, that's one ugly shark. This was out of the Miami Herald. I mean, it just looks... I like the look of sharks. This thing just looks bad. And in a little bit of humor here, an angry beaver delays traffic and roams around Miramichi. It's up in Canada. Said an angry beaver was roaming around the streets causing traffic delays and chasing onlookers. And one guy approached it by a vehicle and said it charged his car. So be careful of those beavers. They are vicious animals. There's the music. Another day over. I enjoyed it. I hope you did. We'll catch up on some of the stuff I didn't get to today. Make time to get outside. Take a kid to a fishing rodeo next Saturday, even if it's not your own. Travel back roads. Be careful and take the camera. See you next Saturday and have a good week.